Welcome to this final step in our journey, the journey of listening to Jesus give his disciples, his 12, final instructions. Welcome to this final bit of the journey where Jesus gives us our final instructions before we leave Camp Kerry, Camp Henderson, Camp CFFD 2011. Again, strap into your seats. If you've already got your straps on in your seats, very well. If you haven't belted into your seat, you do need to. This gets really intense. It really questions what you're about. This final bit really questions your future. It's disturbing and hard, but if you're willing to endure, God's grace abounds. There's as much grace abounding as the grace we saw on that video just then. There's grace abounding from God, grace there, and even more grace. Here's the final reading, which you might want to follow on the inside back page of the leaflet. Headed up, faith in God, reward in God. So have no fear with them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but not kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, and even the hairs on your head are all counted. So do not be afraid, you are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone therefore who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come here to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A mother's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Whoever welcomes you and welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever becomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of the disciple. Truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. I don't know if you like sparrows and birds and the sounds they make in the morning. There's so much of them. Sometimes I enjoy it when I'm up or I'm beginning to wake up. It's time to wake up and instead of hearing an alarm, I hear birds. There's hundreds of birds outside. And I love it. Wonderful way to wake up. Sometimes, if you've had a long day the day before, and you're not ready to wake up till about 7 or 7.30 or even later, and those dusty birds start their singing at 6.30 or even 5.30, but they're just dastardly, you know. Go back to sleep. What's your problem? But can you imagine that? Thousands of birds singing their songs that sometimes we want to listen to, sometimes, look, what's your problem? Just get over it. Just get somewhere else and wake someone else up. But those thousands of birds singing their meaningless songs, God looks after them all. Jesus has said just now, God looks after them all. Singing their meaningless songs sometimes. Chattering, bothering us sometimes. Singing sweetly sometimes. Singing not so sweetly sometimes. But God loves them all. God cares for all those birds, hundreds, thousands, we don't know how many. Even the beautiful birds, the native birds, the rare birds that we love to treasure in this country, even the sparrows, those little molted, pretty ugly little things. Jesus loves. God knows about the molted, coloured, silly birds that sing silly songs when we want to turn over and go back to sleep. God loves them. So can you imagine how much God loves you? And that, on this final trip of our journey, on this final set of instructions, God loves even the motley birds. And He loves you. He wants to love you even more. God wants to love you all as you leave from here. But God wants to look deep into your heart. And God wants you to show a love back to Him, back to the Saviour, back to Jesus Christ and everything that Jesus Christ has shown. And God wants you to show that same love to the person next to you. The person next to you. Your neighbour. And the disciples say, oh, Jesus, I get it. So the person that's next to me, that's moved into the house next door, is that my neighbour, Jesus? And Jesus sees the person next to you. No matter how long they're going to be next to you. Whether they move next to you for the next 5 years in the vacant house, or they come and talk to you for 5 minutes, 50 seconds, 5 seconds. That's who God wants you to love. As much as God loves you. And then there, in that last parish, parable, it's also time for you to get tough. Because as Jesus said, You may think that my love is to keep you placid, but it's also time to speak and to be a sword and to use my teachings as a sword to change what is wrong to what should be right in my sight and my Father's sight. Sometimes my word will be placid. Sometimes my word will be cutting. I want to go back to my life in Wellington before I moved to the Hawke's Bay, to the beautiful, sunny fruit bowl of the country, Hawke's Bay. It wasn't in my plan. For 12 years, I was a parish priest, first in Lower Hutt and then in Wellington. 2 years in Lower Hutt with the Māori Anglican parish, and then 10 years in Wellington. I loved my life. I loved ministering to Māori and their friends and family in many locations, in homes, in jobs, in hospital, in high-rise buildings where Māori congregated in their offices. I loved ministering in Wellington for 10 years. Unfortunately, I didn't get on with my supervising bishop, a man caught up in his own forms of power, which I couldn't agree with. But I tolerated him. I knew our chemistries would never match. He tolerated me. He certainly knew that his chemistry didn't match with mine. But we tolerated each other for 12 years. And then it happened one night. He rang me up one night. He said, as I have aspirations to be promoted from regional bishop with a regional title to national bishop with a national title, I want you to write my name in your secret ballot that you're casting. And everything in that one phone call fell apart. I said, yes, it's a secret ballot. I will be at ballot time in the next week. And he said, well, I want you to tell me that my name will go into your secret ballot. Otherwise, well, life isn't going to be good between you and between me. I said, supervising bishop, I respect you as my supervising bishop. You offer a legitimate leadership to our region. I'll never defy that. And he turned to me, is my name, Leo, going on your secret ballot? I'll give you 24 hours to think about it, and then I'll ring back. But if I ring back and you can't assure me that my name goes on your secret ballot, we're going to have trouble in our relationship here from now on. So what can you do? What can you say? Life, a great career in front of you, yet you had to make a decision. So I made a decision. He rang me up the next day and said, as your supervising bishop with powers over your region, I'm ringing you up now to find what's going on your ballot. And so I had to say what I had to say. I'm not writing anything in the ballot I'm not going to ballot occasion, and I need a month before I leave your Anglican region, never to return. And so that's what I've done. I left his Anglican region, and for 10 months I did clerical work in Wellington. I didn't go back to the congregations he looks after a month of saying my goodbyes to them. It hurt so deep. Grieving for my parents was hard. Grieving for leaving congregations I had worked with in Wellington City of that intensity, that same pain that I felt for saying goodbye and burying my parents. But I kept faithful in God. 10 months of doing bits of clerical work around the city, and then I got invited to the Hawke's Bay, another region, another bishop, another township, loving, where I could again pastor and do God's work. The township I've been ministering in for the last 5 years is glorious. They love me. I love them. Their baking is incredible. I've got a wide puku no puku. God has looked after me. God has given me an incredible volunteer life, working with Joan, CFFD Hawke's Bay, doing things that I enjoy, doing things I'd never expect, like speaking to national camp, regional camp, speaking in whakatane, speaking to you. God is good. But you have to listen to the voice of God, painful though it is. And when you had to pick up that sword of God's word and correct what isn't of God, you have to. And how do you know when it's time to pick up the sword of God and say what you have to? You're told deep inside. You're not told simply by the Bible. You're not told by others. You're not told by your mind. When the supervising bishop to Māori in Wellington told me to put his name on my secret ballot, it was something deep inside my gut that told me now is the time to pull out the sword. You'll know it. It's down here. It's not up here. It's not here with people telling you what is right and what is wrong. The word of God dwells in here. You need to listen to it. You need to act upon it. It comes from nowhere else. Here is where you feel things. Your emotion, your heartache, your joy. Here helps you process things through. But it's here where you're told when to stay quiet, when to speak up. And Jesus is very clear. I love you. My Father loves you more than even the birds that he's caring about. But we need you to follow us deep in your heart, deep in your gut. You'll know when to follow us. We'll know when you're following us. So that's a glue, that's darkness, that's a pain inside this journey. It will dwell deep inside you, in your gut. But sometimes, at the end, there's a glimmer of hope. It's as easy, most of the time, as offering a glass of water. You're staring at me. Leo, what do you mean? There's times when you have to give up home, give up friends, give up family, give up a 10-year ministry. I say again, as Jesus says, following him, most of the time, is as easy as giving a glass of water. If you listen to him, if you follow him deep inside your puku, what he's saying to you. See, God, Jesus, they aren't worried about achievement, about great works, about hundreds that you bring to them. Jesus is merely looking deep into your gut, into your heart. How strongly are you following? How much trust are you giving me? The faith you have in me, how far does it go? How far does it go? It's the level of commitment, of faith, of trust, of love that you give to me and the plan of my Father. That's all we're looking for. It's not the achievement. It's not the years on the mission field or the number of hearts you bring to me. Jesus is saying to you, I'm only looking for the heart that you bring to me. It's as simple as that. And if you bring a heart to Jesus and a willingness to Jesus, Jesus is there to bless you abundantly. Cup running over. I know, I've seen that in the town that I've been for the last 5 years. In the mission, in the ministry, I've been privileged to hold for the last 5 years. Sometimes surrender to God is incredibly simple. And in a few minutes, in about 10 minutes, we're going to bring across some bits of bread and some small glasses of drink. We're going to get you moving up in single file to receive a small piece of bread and a little sip of juice. That's all. You're just going to take a small piece of bread and a sip of juice. Pretty insignificant, but it's in that releasing of yourself to Jesus as you take that little bit of bread and that little sip of juice. That is where Jesus is going to bless you. As you put that little piece of bread into your mouth, take that little half sip. As it goes down your throat, for some of you, it will go down your throat before you notice it. But it's the giving of your heart to Jesus. That's all he wants to see. Isn't it, you? That's all Jesus wants to see and feel. The giving of your heart. As we set up, I'd like to give you all a 5-minute task. simply turn to the person next to you. Maybe just give one example of how your faith has been difficult and how your faith has been simple. Offer that to the person next to you. Give time for the person next to you to talk and offer one way in which faith has been hard, faith has been simple. And then pray for each other. And then in 6 minutes' time, I will bless and offer the bread and wine, and we will enjoy it together.